Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. From Tohoku University in Japan comes a study about how eating regular mushrooms, white-cap mushrooms, can lead to a lower prostate cancer risk. That's good. In fact, it means you can have less cancer, different types of cancer, not just prostate. And that's just normal mushrooms. That does not mean your shiitake and maitake. This was published in the International Journal of Cancer. Now, the best way of eating mushrooms is not raw, but rather lightly cooked. You can put them in a soup, like a mushroom barley soup or tahini soup, any of these soups. And what I do, by the way, is I use a little bit of like a teaspoon of tahini, and then I blend that with avocado. And I do this as a cold soup. It's delicious. I can add in some garlic, onions, and chives, and then saute mushrooms and put it in with it. Something different. But if you want to eat the mushrooms, you can also saute mushrooms, use a little wheat-free soy sauce, and some of the kimochi, the toasted sesame seeds, and just eat them that way. Also, I use sweet onions, rinse them under cold water, slice them up, and then put a piece of tomato on top of that, and then put shiitake mushrooms on top of that, and with some mustard, and eat that just as a shiitake sandwich. There's all fun ways of doing this. So get your mushrooms into your body. We have a lot to share on health today. Also, I'm going to be doing a commentary that I think that most of you in this audience will appreciate, but if you find meaning in it, good. If not, that's all right. But I want to show you why it doesn't matter who's elected president, it's not going to benefit any of us. And I'll tell you why. I'll also tell you why I believe that we're being played and how everything that has happened is a part of that action. Also, I want to share there's two ways of approaching an issue. The first is we have to go through some form of spiritual transformation where we're no longer afraid of confronting the enemies that we have. So we walk out and we face them, even though there may be some serious consequences to our career, to us personally. But when you're able to do that, then you can at least know that you're doing something positive to help with change. When we all do it together, we can definitely make an impact. But then what do? When you develop that courage? So I'm going to share two separate discussions today. One is brand new. You've never seen it or heard it before. And it's called Connecting with Your Inner Healer. It's only 11 minutes. That's the first journey we have to take. Because if you don't take that journey, you're never going to take the next one, which is meeting the enemy. So we're going to face both today, because otherwise the vast majority of silent Americans are going to stay silent until it's so late that anything they do at that point will be rendered redundant because they'll have no force of power to change. That's what the opposition's counting upon, staying silent, staying frustrated, staying angry, but doing nothing about it. For those who are in the street protesting, legitimately so, on issues that are important, I fully support that. But that has been co-opted, whether they're aware of it or not. And now you're seeing, like in Portland, it's not demonstrations against racial injustice. It's pure, unmitigated violence to change the structure of America and who runs it and what we're supposed to believe or accept. So if someone is so intolerant as to go into neighborhoods and destroy people's businesses without ever knowing that, first, that's illegal, secondly, it's unethical, third, it's immoral, and also it's racist. You go into a neighborhood knowing that neighborhood is substantially small businesses of people of different ethnicities, and you choose to destroy their business. You choose to destroy everything they've worked for. Well, that's not just bigotry, and yet that's accepted. The media is never reporting on that. They're reporting upon how it's responded to. And they're the same people who lied to you about weapons of mass destruction, we have to go to Vietnam, or otherwise there'll be a domino effect and you'll have the Viet Cong in San Francisco. The same people lied to us about why we had to kill Gaddafi and destroy Libya. The same people who've lied to you about everything, why we need 5G and why vaccines are the answer to health. They've never been right about anything. They've never been honest about anything. And yet they're still the one that everyone is listening to. So I have a commentary for them. And I'll set time aside so you could call in and share your points of view. But we always begin with the latest on health and healing. So understand that mushrooms are one of the finest immune-modulating foods you can put in your body. I remember once in a lecture series I was doing, I thought I was doing one small lecture up in Vancouver. It turned out there were 3,500 people. The room only held 1,500. So when we saw the problem, I simply went out and got on a speaker and I said, hey, why don't you all go down and have yourself a dinner, come back in an hour and a half and we'll fit you in. And it worked. So afterwards, so that meant that the lecture went from like 6 in the evening to about 11. And I hadn't eaten any. I never eat before I lecture. I want my energy fully focused and vibrating with the audience. But I was hungry. And so a person took me downstairs and there was a restaurant and they had closed up. And I said, do you have any shiitake mushrooms? Yeah, we have shiitake. How about sauteing some shiitake mushrooms? So they brought like 5 dishes of shiitake mushrooms, big ones. It was delicious. And then I asked, could I just take a look at your seasonings? I'll season them up. And they thought it was stupid, but hey, I was paying for each dish and they weren't cheap. So I can make a meal of shiitake mushrooms. It's just upon how you season it. So anyhow, I'm going to be doing a Zoom in the very near future of how to become a more interesting chef, not a gourmet chef, but how to make your meals far more exciting. I'm going to show you 50 ways to work with brown rice, just brown rice. But each time you do it, it'll have a completely different taste and mouthfeel and aftertaste and how it looks. That's just one workshop. It'll take about 2 hours because I have to do it in my own kitchen and set up the cameras and everything. But I think people should make their food far more interesting. But then again, they should make their life more interesting. So it starts with being open and aware that we can grow and looking for something that can excite us in a good way. From Wuhan Institute of Bioengineering comes a very important article. Listen carefully to this because it's published in the Journal of General Virology, a mainstream journal. Here's what it says. At high doses, turmeric compound, that's your curcumin, kills viral particles. I repeat, curcumin, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, which is a natural compound found in the spice, but I don't believe you should use turmeric for it. You should buy it by itself. And it kills viruses. And that's very important. It can prevent transmissible gastroenteritis virus, an alpha group, coronavirus that infects pigs from infecting cells. And since there is a question now, a legitimate question, and promoted in America by Charles Ortlieb, an outstanding and courageous journalist who used to own and publish some of the leading cutting-edge stories with an outstanding editorial staff of John Lawrence and Nina Ostrom in the New York Native. And he has raised the question, could we be infecting ourselves with the coronavirus from pigs? Since there's now a major epidemic in the pig population there, and they have found the transmission of bat virus in pigs. After all, the bats are going to feed off anything they can, and they can feed all night on a pig. But then they infect the pig, and the pig is not dying. But when you eat the meat, you could be eating, bringing the virus right into your body. So it's a question that is very important. It is not conspiratorial. There's science behind it. That's why I believe that you should not eat any pork in any fashion whatsoever. And I would never eat in a restaurant that served pork because you do not know, did they cut the pork and then later cut a salad or something else and cause that transmission from surface areas. In any case, here's a major institution published in a major journal saying that curcumin, a natural compound, can fight viruses, including the coronavirus. In fact, in this study, it says, quote, to determine the potential antiviral properties of curcumin, the research team treated experimental cells with various concentrations of the compound before attempting to infect them with TGEV. They found that higher concentrations of curcumin reduced the number of viral particles in the cell line in the culture. So the research suggests that curcumin affects TGEV in a number of ways by directly killing the viruses before it's able to infect the cell, and by integrating with the viral envelope to inactivate the virus, and by altering the metabolism of cells to prevent viral entry. So that's good. So curcumin has been shown, quote, to inhibit the replication of some virus types of virus, including dengue virus, hepatitis B virus, Zika virus. The compound also has been found to have a number of significant biological effects, including anti-tumor, anti-inflammatory, antibacterial activities. Wow. So now we can say it kills virus particles. That's good news. But something else kills COVID-19 or slows its progression. Something I know that a lot of you are using every day. And this is from George Washington University and is published in the peer-reviewed journal Nitric Oxide. Quote, nitric oxide may slow progression of COVID-19. A recent review published by George Washington University research suggests that nitric oxide has promise as a therapeutic tool to control the replication and rapid spread of SARS-CoV-2. Now, you know that nitric oxide treatment can be pivotal in the world's fight against SARS-2, the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. And nitric oxide is an antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory molecule with key roles in pulmonary vascular function in the context of viral infection and other pulmonary diseases. And nitric oxide plays a very important role in maintaining normal vascular function, your heart, your lungs, blood to the brain, blood to the extremities, and it can turn off inflammation in your lungs, and especially if you suffer from acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS. So coronaviruses are RNA viruses that primarily infect birds or livestock, but can mutate to be highly infectious and lethal in humans. There's currently no registered treatment for vaccine for COVID-19. So two ways right now. Remember your pomegranate? Remember your beet juice? That's your nitric oxide. So now we got curcumin and nitric oxide, the two together along with vitamin C, and you are doing a lot to prevent COVID-19. Why not, if we have anyone listening who works in a nursing home, why not start today getting them beet juice, pomegranate concentrate, vitamin C, curcumin. I'm suggesting curcumin at around 4,000 milligrams for cancer, for AIDS, for chronic fatigue syndrome, Lyme's disease. I go much higher than that. But even preventative, I don't tell people how much I take because I don't want them trying to duplicate mine, because I build up my immune system to withstand everything in the world. So I don't want you to overstimulate yours. But these are things we can do. So start giving this to your patients. Start giving it to your older moms and dads and grandparents. All right? So these are the things we can do. They didn't tell us, but the science shows it. It's right there. That's good news. Also, from Joslin Diabetes Center in Boston, published in the Journal of Endocrine Society, cinnamon can improve blood sugar control in people with prediabetes so you don't become diabetic. That's good news. Just sprinkle some cinnamon on a hot millet in the morning, or I'll make a millet for a week and freeze it, and then each night I put what I'm going to use the next day. The millet tastes almost like almonds. It's called the poor person's protein in Africa. very healthy, and it's easy to prepare. It takes 5 minutes. You don't even have to. You can take it, put it in a bowl, put some boiling water over it, put a towel over it, and it'll. That's enough stirred around, and put some coconut oil in there, and that's all you do. From the University of Southern California comes research that to prevent Alzheimer's effects in the blood, take the omega-3 fatty acids, and you may require larger doses to be effective, according to Southern University. Isn't it interesting? Where for decades, science refused to go above tiny doses, like 80 milligrams of vitamin C was considered a large dose, and 30 units of vitamin E was a large dose. But when they started going to 400 units, 800 units, 1,200 units of vitamin E, spectacular results. When they started going to high dose of vitamin C, and I remember one day I had the entire medical staff at the Tri-State Healing Center, and there were, I guess, around 17 people all told in the room. Dr. Elmira Goodall, one of America's leading holistic dentists, was there too. She started off at the Tri-State Healing Center, and Susan, the nurse practitioner, and we had Mitchell Proffman, the chiropractor. We had everybody in the room, all the medical doctors, nurses. And I said that we were going to up the dosage, and they said, well, what's the basis of this? And I said, well, I want you to meet and listen to some people, including Linus Pauling, who's in town. He alone takes 18 to 20,000 milligrams orally each day and with some spectacular results. But if we can show that 30,000 milligrams can destroy cancer cells, imagine what 100 or 200,000. We're getting people at the end of disease. This is where they come last, when all hope is given up. We never have people with a minor disease or at the beginning of disease where they, when everyone says, sorry, everything's failed, put your life in order, that's when they show up here. So we cannot use their model. We have to be adventurous. And to show you that it works, I'm going to use it on myself. So for the next year and a half, I took 200,000 milligrams of vitamin C intravenous. I'd be doing my radio show with a strip on. I'd be counseling people, walking around the office with this pole with the vitamin C. But every week, I would take my entire blood chemistry to a lab, which was not cheap. It was like $2,200. But I wanted to prove with a very healthy person myself who's never taken drugs or alcohol or smoked or drank or anything like that, what it will do to a healthy person's immune system. And it just showed one improvement after another, after another, after another. And I said, now, imagine coming with disease, your immune system is crushed. This is why it will work. And so we started to use it. And sure enough, that's when we started to reverse AIDS and cancers, every disease imaginable, Alzheimer's, high doses. And now a lot of people are using high doses with great results. Anyhow, that's just a little background on that. We've been using too little of many of these supplements. And finally today, the efficacy of acupuncture in insomnia treatment is now proven. This was published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine and done at the Beijing University of Chinese Medicine. So what they did, since acupuncture is commonly used all over Asia as an effective therapy for insomnia, not so much in Western countries, they wanted to show that it actually works in this study, and they did, and with remarkable improvements in people being able to go to sleep and stay asleep when they've had acupuncture. So that's important. And from Cornell University, make sure you're getting your choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E. It's important for you. It helps you. I'm Gary Nall, and we're, you know, talking about the issues that make a difference in our life. University of California, by the way, older adults who can really smell the roses, you have a less likelihood of dementia. Seniors who can identify smells like roses, turpentine, paint thinner, lemons, have retained their senses of hearing, vision, and touch, have half the risk of developing dementia as their peers with marked sensory decline. One more reason to pay attention to the things that matter. And this was published in Alzheimer's and Dementia, the Journal of the Alzheimer's Association. And that means eating foods that are anti-inflammatory, drinking beverages that are anti-inflammatory. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to do a little commentary, and then I'm going to ask you to call in and share your points of view. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. We're 20 minutes into our program. Back in a moment. For all of you listening all over the world, thank you. We have started our campaign, which is a 5-week campaign to challenge the objectivity and legitimacy of Wikipedia as a real encyclopedia. We believe it is not, that it's been captured by a group called skeptics, and that they've used this to destroy the reputations of everyone associated with the alternative movement, and then prevent hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people worldwide from knowing that there are other ways: acupuncture, chiropractic, homeopathy, energy medicine, alternative and complementary medicine, all the ways that people have been getting better, staying healthy. They have no opportunity because it's all viewed as quackery. Well, I will not go into what we have done yet, but registered mail is being opened around the world today from our legal department, and our effort has commenced. It is in 5 stages. Each stage is completely different. And so when we get the feedback, and we will very shortly, then I will share what that first stage was. And it is, they were not prepared for it, that I can assure you. In any case, go to prn.fm. Go down the page and you will see some of the videos. And one of the videos is, it's about 2 hours and 44 minutes long. It's about AIDS is not a death sentence. This is one of the things we're challenging Wikipedia for. Anyone who believes that AIDS has been mismanaged, or AZT and antiretrovirals are not the drugs of choice, that there are other ways of treating, you're immediately labeled as an AIDS denialist. Well, of course, nothing is further from the truth, and we've been able to prove that and document it. But I want you to see the absolute proof. I want you to see the medical team, the scientists. I want you to read their letters unsolicited. I want you to hear the patients, see their stories, look at their blood workups, look at their medical records. I want you to see the journalists. And by the way, does anyone have a reason for this? Of every press conference, of every meeting, bringing scientists from all over the world to New York, from China, from Japan, from France, from Great Britain, and around the United States, and many of you were there. We started at noon. We went to almost midnight, almost 12 hours, at the largest church outside of St. John the Divine, which was not available for rental, but we rented that church on Central Park West, and we had the video. You'll see it in the documentary. Thousands of people all day long coming in, and you'll see up on the stage one speaker after another after another. I brought all these people in, and they all had something in common: how to disarm the HIV virus, how to destroy the underlying pathologies, and how to regroup a person's health, bring them back to health. And every single media was made aware of that. Everyone in every AIDS organization was made aware of it. Every AIDS foundation was made aware of it. All the gay organizations made aware of it. Not one attended. Was that by accident? How is it that the publisher of the Amsterdam News, Bill Tatum, the largest, most respected African-American newspaper, and he came down to the Tri-State Healing Center. I was working with him on his own health problems. Then he discovered, who are all those people in the other room? Well, those are people with AIDS, and they want their own. They ask if they have their own support group because they want to talk about issues that are personal and intimate to the person with AIDS. And so we give them their own space. They come in at night from 5 till midnight, 7 hours. Can I go over and talk? Of course. So he goes over and he talks. And every time he came in, he talked and he talked. Then he started coming on a regular basis. And another African American journalist, a lawyer, a real intellect, Doug Henderson, he was being treated there, not phrased for other conditions. He started talking. Now, he knew Bill Tatum because he had written for the Amsterdam News. And then Bill, after about 3 or 4 months, and the same with Doug Henderson, they ask, with the patient's permission, can we look at your blood chemistry? Can we look at your medical records to see, are you actually making progress? Is this a placebo or is this real? And yes, it was real. They were blown away. In time, after doing all their homework, they began to write articles about it. Then also Bill Tatum said, you got to get this information out. So he took over the Harlem Theater, and for 3 straight days, supposed to be one day, so many people showed up at the Harlem Theater and up on 125th Street that they had to do it for 3 straight days. And it would have gone more, but I had to go on tour on Thursday, so I had to leave. Every single seat was taken. But then here's what was funny. I thought I'd get out of the cab, go in and do a little talk. I didn't know how many people were going to be there in the long line outside. And so we just said, come back tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow. And then come back the next day, we'll do it the next day. A lot of famous African Americans there. But when I got there and they took me backstage, I thought it was just going to be introduce and walk out. It didn't happen. Instead, all these, they had a Nation of Islam color guard out there, on the stage. And they invited up all these African American physicians. I'd never met any of these people. And there were dozens. And they would talk about how they had come by the Tri-State Healing Center and they couldn't help their patients. So when they sent them by, the patients got better. So then they wanted to see why and how. And they were coming down. They were coming in the daytime. Or they coming at night when I would not necessarily have been there. I'd come by in the early evening. Then I'd come by at the end and lock it up at midnight. And they were treating their own patients using my protocols with similar outstanding results. One woman said, this woman board certified in 2 specialties, internal medicine was one of them, and she said, I have not had a single patient die in the last 2 years. And so all these people, and Arthur Ashe was there, other people, not a word in the media, not a word. And then the press conference, where 100 people with their medical doctors, medical records, and a whole board of scientists who had reviewed all this, not a single member of the media came. Then Tony Brown's journal, 8 people over 7 years, who his team came in and researched for months, and then said, yes, this is legitimate, and brought me on with the patients, with their medical records, that their physicians had already reviewed to make sure that this was not going to embarrass PBS. And he was their most popular person on PBS, had the widest, largest audience. He had the largest African-American audience in America at that time. And there you see it. Now, that's just examples. Press conference, the all day with scientists from around the world, 3 days sold out the Apollo Theater, and Tony Brown's journal, and Bill McCree, the multi-Emmy award-winning African-American producer on Channel 5, brought people on there multiple times with, and by the way, before they got on there, he had a whole team, and doctors review the medical records and blood chemistry from Roche to show these people went from HIV positive, HIV negative. They went from full-blown AIDS to totally healthy. No one in the world had done it. Not a single person had been converted. I converted 18 at 2 different centers, the Institute of Applied Biology, where I was a senior research fellow and head of anti-aging medicine, and the Tri-State Healing Center. Not a word. Why? Except in the African-American community. Why? Why is it that only African-American journalists and physicians and patients were willing to open that door and see that truth and embrace it? Why? If you have an answer, let me hear it. Like to hear it. Now, here's why I want to bring 3 things together. I want to bring the fact that for 3.5 years, we've been led to believe by every media that Russia was behind getting Trump elected, therefore he was not legitimately elected, and therefore he should be impeached. And And this was done, by the way, once Hillary had lost and before the inauguration. We have now found out that on the night of that happened, a small group met with Hillary and they decided, what can we do? And trying to get him out of office was what they were going to do. Now, mind you, she couldn't have gotten herself back in office. They could have called for a new election. Who knows what would have happened? But you have to look at succession, president, vice president, speaker of the House. You just can't have someone who ran and lost suddenly say, well, I'll become president. It doesn't work that way, not with our Constitution. But in any case, they lied. How do we know they lied? They all lied constantly. Adam Schiff was the biggest liar of all. He's a pathological liar. Because on television, Clapper, National Security Director, Brennan, head of the CIA, they would talk about they had proof, absolute proof, there was irrefutable proof. But then just 8 weeks ago, their actual sworn testimony in secret in Adam Schiff's committee, intelligence committee in the House, showed that when asked pointedly, do you have any evidence at all that proves that Russia entered? None. Do you have proof? None. Is there any evidence? None. They lied. All the media lied. MSNBC, CNN, they all lied. The New York Times, Washington Post, they all lied to you because they needed their side to stay in power at all costs. So when that didn't work, then it became the COVID, controlling it. And every single thing would be that the establishment is not doing anything right. You know, the medical establishment that's controlled by the White House, but we have the outside experts saying we got to do the vaccine and the drugs they're suggesting don't work. But it turns out those drugs did work. And a lot of doctors come forward to prove that. We did that last night on our program, showing hundreds and hundreds of patients using a particular inexpensive drug, and it worked. In any case, now it's the marches. Legitimate? Yes. But look at what has happened because of it. And so you see, they're behind all this, the deep state. They're controlling it. And we're just not aware of it. So what will not happen when they get elected? Because it hasn't happened up to this point. Now, this is true for Republicans and conservatives and liberals and Democrats. The economy. The economy has not challenged NAFTA nor any other trade agreements since Clinton's presidency, and he was responsible. They have not attempted to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act to separate out savings and loan banks, which are solvent, from casino capitalism, which is not. They've largely been responsible for the TARP payment to banks and major corporations, but not to average people. None of these people in Congress could have put a moratorium on home foreclosures. They didn't put any moratorium. They protected the people who had the mortgages, meaning the banks, but not the people who owed the mortgages, the people. They failed to introduce legislation to bring about single-payer health care. They could have. They did not. And when even the liberals wanted universal health care, they wanted to keep all the profit in the system. Therefore, they're beholden to the insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, and the for-profit hospital industry. We've showed you, and I've actually sent Cortez, and we sent Sanders, we sent everyone the plan of how to do universal health care where it did not cost us any more money. It saved us $1.7 trillion a year. There have been minimal efforts to pass legislation to break up the big banks, so no big banks have been broken up. There's no effort to tackle the human rights issues behind commodity trading. They're allowing lobbying to continue unabated. They take money from everyone. They enabled conservative deregulation policies for a long time. They allowed monopolistic practices. They only speak rhetorically over decades of industries consolidating themselves into monopolistic cartels without adversary. They both fully support the military-industrial complex. They continue to support and fund the Patriot Act. They consistently voted in favor of the defense budget increases. They permitted the terrible National Defense Authorization Act to go forward without strong contention. And that was Obama, by the way. There's a lame effort to challenge the U.S. drone program an executive assassination policy, so it's still fully in effect. They failed to reopen a 9/11 investigation because the first one was a sham. No matter what we may believe or think was the cause of 9/11, the investigation was a complete and total failure by omission. There was no push or effort for a thorough investigation into the legitimacy of our war on terror as currently defined and being acted upon, but because our war on terror is a war on innocent civilians. There's no congressional outrage on U.S. involvement in Libya. That was genocide, innocent people. And just remember this, that's racist also. So if you don't think Obama was a racist, think again. And Clinton also. And Joe Biden. They all supported this because Libya was a non-terrorist nation. Libya was the number one nation in Africa in longevity, in higher education, in health care. They had the healthiest, longest-lived people and the best educated, 84% literacy. That's higher in the United States. They had no crime. Women had more rights than any other Islamic nation. They had the largest human-made irrigation system in the world to help all the other countries in Northern Africa who did not have adequate water because Northern Africa is all desert. So, plus they were moving off the dollar to the gold denier, and Libya and Gaddafi had been selected repeatedly to head the African Consensus Group and the African Union. He was at peace, and even the New York Times knew this. It was the Paris of Africa. There was no reason in the world to bomb it, but there was. It's oil, and that's why they did it. No one's taken responsibility for all those tens of thousands of Libyans who were killed. All the rest were caused to leave their homes. So you see, someone should hold that up to them. And also, both the left and right will refuse to confront Israel's war crimes in Gaza and human rights abuses in the West Bank, and it permits AIPAC to define their Israeli strategy. There's no formidable challenge to U.S.-Saudi relations and weapon sales. They allow it to be the human rights violator that it is and did not challenge them on Saudi Arabia becoming head of the Human Rights Commission at the UN, shows you what kind of fraud the UN is. They allowed a new Cold War with Russia to proceed unchallenged. There's no effort to downsize our military overreach around the world, all the bases. There's mute input on renewed nuclear weapons buildup. There's no move to a New START treaty. There's surveillance, spying, and warrantless wiretapping everywhere, and they both allowed it. Both liberals and conservative federal legislators, when they agree on a progressive issue, don't want to deal with it. They simply dump it on the states to decide for themselves, which means nothing happens. They're mute on campaign finance reform. We should have all money, every nickel, taken out of elections so the average person could run for office, and that's not allowed. It's a controlled and completely captured by a duopoly, the two-party system, which are controlled both by the Council on Foreign Relations and others who are more powerful. Citizens United is still in place. It should have been revoked. There's a complete failure of tackling health care. There is anti-science regarding GMOs. All the science shows GMOs, genetically modified organisms, are dangerous. Vaccines are inherently dangerous. And yet they fast-track both and attack anyone who challenges the anti-science position of all administrations and the media. There's an inability to be honest about the real unemployment nation's figures. The figures are a sham in order to give a phony sense of healthy domestic economy. Right now, their official unemployment numbers are around 10.5%. The reality is over 30%. There's no attempt at prison reform. There's no attempt and will not be any to change our justice system to get rid of all drugs, nonviolent crimes. Nobody should be sent to prison for nonviolent crimes. That's just stupid. You should remove completely our war on drugs because it never works, doesn't work, but it's very profitable. We still have the death penalty, which we shouldn't have. It's an embarrassment. The failure to deal with the national legalization policy of marijuana keeps the prison industry rolling in dough. There's no effort to push for congressional reevaluation of our 40-plus years of war on drugs. It allows home foreclosures to continue to benefit the lenders. We failed to tackle the problem of student loan debt, which should be forgiven. And we have should stop all of the payday loans, all loans of any kind where the interest is more than 3%. Beyond that, it's usury because they're all compounded. We also have failed to tackle the whole idea of transitioning to renewable clean energy to confront climate change. There's no outrage at the years of U.S. backing out of international treaties and agreements on human rights and military intervention issues. There's no effort to improve laws that protect whistleblowers. In fact, they're going after whistleblowers. Julian Assange is just one example. There's a failure to tackle education reform. Right now, our entire educational system is just a joke. It's graduating functional illiterates. And now with the new movement, with a new movement of students who want to erase your power as a professor or an educator, now they want to eliminate all college entrance exams. They want to eliminate math, saying it's racist. How stupid is that? They want to eliminate taking tests. They simply want to show up, be comforted, fed, made warm, hold a teddy bear, pet a dog, and get a degree with an A. Yeah, that's how dumb our students are in the United States. There's no attempt to reverse Bush's bankruptcy, and Joe Biden's supported those bankruptcy laws so you can't get out of bankruptcy if you're a student. There's no serious attempt to review and change subsidy policies towards the worst corporations. We subsidize polluting industries. We subsidize pharmaceutical industries. We subsidize agricultural industries. We shouldn't subsidize any of these industries. To address these, then it doesn't matter who's in office, we all fail. We will be the victims. Now, the people who are most likely to get in power at this time, but it can change, of course. But right now, you're looking at a sweep of the House, and probably, without question, Trump is gone. And there'll probably be anywhere from a 7 to 11% for the Democrats. Joe Biden will be a token figure. The real power will probably be Kamala Harris, and she would be the worst person in the world to have power because you can bet within 6 to 12 months after Biden being in power, he will be delegated to have to retire with full pension, and then the toughest group of anti-progressives in history will take power. You won't hear about anything, but they will be punitive. They will go after everybody who's not in alignment with them, and therefore will be in 1984. Climate change will continue because no one's going to pay attention to it. Human rights abuses around the world, no one's paying attention. Supporting all of our terrible allies with their wars in Yemen, etc., nobody's paying attention. No one will do anything about it. The starving children in America, hungry children in America, malnourished children in America, it'll probably go up to 50 million. Nothing will be done about it. The homeless, nothing will be done about it. For bringing de-ghettoizing the neighborhoods, nothing will be done about it. For rebuilding infrastructure, nothing will be done about it. For demilitarization, nothing will be done about it. But you will have a demilitarization or de-policing with astronomical consequences. Last night, in an hour and a half, in 90 minutes, up to 17 people were shot in Chicago alone. Imagine with no police what that is going to mean. So if you're very rich, you'll be able to hire private security. If you're not, you're in Mad Maxville. That's the future right now. I see no way out of this. They have won because the silent majority could not find the courage to find its voice and act. And because the liberals have become the dumbest group of people in history and they only care about punishing you and shaming you, they do not care about real change because they've not engaged in real change. The last person to engage in real change was Franklin Roosevelt. And since then, it's all about opportunism and keeping the powerful more powerful, the rich richer. That's my own personal view. I'd like to hear yours. 888-874-4888. So it's up to you and I for us to change and put ourselves into a safer place because we're not able to make the changes. And when the coronavirus comes, it'll be mandatory. The very people who lied us into weapons of mass destruction will lie us into you need the vaccine. And yet the science is not on their side. It's just the opposite. For example, this is from UCLA today. Quote, coronavirus antibodies fall dramatically in the first 3 months after a mild case of COVID. Well, if they fall, then the vaccine's not going to be protective. That's one study. And separately, this is from San Francisco Gate, quote, with coronavirus antibodies fading fast, vaccine hopes fade too. Disturbing new revelations that permanent immunity to the coronavirus may not be possible have jeopardized vaccine development and reinforced the decision by scientists at University of California, San Francisco, and affiliated laboratories to focus exclusively on treatments. But they're not going to be what I just gave you at the beginning of this program. They're going to be on drugs. So our vaccine policy is a sham. It will be the most dangerous experiment ever done. Now we're going to go directly to, and I'll say room at the end, how we can change. What do we need to change? What do we need before we go to the streets? And we have to find the healer within. This is the first step in regaining the confidence you can go up against corporations, social groups, shaming media, and still be left on your feet. Listen now.
I'd like to welcome you to our program. I'm Gary Nall. In our discussion, we're going to explore something that I have, quite frankly, I've never been able to put together before. And sometimes the most convoluted and complex problems have such simple answers. That's one of the joys of living, just being present and being open to whatever is in front of us. The trouble is, what's in front of us we rarely see because of our particular bias. We need to see something, our expectations, our dreams, our desires, our needs, our ambitions, our fear, all will distort what's in front of us. So even when we have the truth, we don't often embrace it because it doesn't meet our expectations. Before you can grow, before you can learn what you need to know in order to make positive and constructive changes, you first have to understand how many layers of protective conditioning keep you within a very given pattern of thought. So if I'm coming to you with a message that can help you, and here's my message here, but let's say based upon your belief system and what you've done with your life, you're only open to a message here. And what if the message you're open to is not the message I'm giving? We don't connect. And it's only when you connect that a vibrant current, what I call that life consciousness, you can call it whatever you wish, a life force, a healing force, the intrinsic or etherical connection of all things occur. Now you'll see as we go into our discussion, you've had all this phenomena. All of you have experienced this, but you won't appreciate that you all have more knowledge what to do than what you've actually done, right? You know better than the actions you take. You're smarter than the actions you take, right?
True.
You have a knowledge of this, and yet more often than not, you act at this level. And everyone does. I don't care if you're Einstein or never been to school, we all act under our awarenesses, even when it's against our best interest, and you figure out, why? Why do I keep doing things that are clearly not in my best interest? I'll explain that, because I finally figured it out. It deals with the authenticity of our connection. But to be authentic in your connections, you first have to know yourself well enough to say, where am I open and what am I open to? And that's not just your choice. Remember, you're also a part of a belief system. Your family, your teachers, your fraternities and sororities, the physicians and priests and rabbis and your clerics, everyone has had something to do with your value system and your beliefs. So you're honoring them at the same time. And therefore, to say, well, you're open for change, yes and no. Intellectually, yes. Desire for change and improvement, yes. But unless all of your mindsets are open to connect with whatever messages are out there that could change your life, no. Won't happen. Just won't happen. First and foremost, ask someone, what is it you want? Then ask them, are you willing to make the change? And you know what you're going to find? A lot of people are not ready for the very thing that they want to change most. A lot of people say, yeah, I want something. Then ask them, are you really ready for what you want? You think you are. Can you handle the change you desire? Oh, sure I can. Not true. There's a whole process of preparation that is necessary before someone actually engages. And when you do engage, you're not only engaging in something new, you're disengaging from something that you no longer want to be a part of. Our stress, our crisis occurs when we know that what we're thinking, doing, acting, feeling is not in our best interest. We know of things that are better. We've seen it on talk shows, read it in books, we've heard it in sermons. It's all around us, these answers. They're proliferate in answers, yet we're not connecting with them. That's because we haven't opened ourselves for a connection to occur. For example, to the women in this audience alone, have you ever been with someone and you just knew that they weren't open emotionally, yet it had nothing to do with anything they said or did? You could just feel that there was not a connection? Okay? You just intuitively you knew. No matter what you're saying, you're not open. You know, you're not, there's no connection. Now that's something scientifically you can't prove, but you don't need to prove it scientifically. Because I'm suggesting that science is not and should never have been designated as the final arbiter of all things that are right. We also are, before we're a scientific being, we're a spiritual being. The reality of life far precedes and far exceeds the scientific understanding of it or the scientific need to justify it. I do not have to justify my existence in the name of science in order to justify my life. Therefore, if I wish to use concepts such as emotions, prayer, feelings, intuition, to me those are as valid as anything I will find in the nucleus of a cell to determine what makes me unique and special and how I can thrive and honor my existence. That said, let's start our process of examining what's necessary to start making the right connections and disengage from the wrong ones. Number one, do your connections provide balance? I mean spiritual balance, emotional balance, physical balance, and interpersonal balance. Let's examine each of those for a moment. How in the world are we supposed to change anything if the very things that we need to change are not in balance? Just imagine if you woke up each day and you're bent like this, right? You're all bent over. And someone says, well, can you lift a weight? I can't lift it. I'm not in balance. What if you get up and you're stressed? Can you answer a question? I can't really think. I'm not in balance. We don't like to be stressed when we're not in balance. We don't like to engage things when we're not in balance. Think of all the things you don't want to do because you just felt out of sorts. You're not in balance. When you're PMSing, your body's not balanced. When you've just had a loss, you're not emotional balance. You're going through a grieving of a loss of a pet, a job, something. So one of the first things we should understand is how we connect is directly related to where our balance level is in what we're trying to connect to. So stop for a moment and take a look at what it is. If I, for instance, want to connect with my higher spiritual being, I better understand that I cannot connect with something I'm not prepared to connect with by being in balance. Example, I can't do something negative and harmful and seek a spiritual answer. We do it all the time, though, don't we? We do something wrong and ask for some form of mercy as if somehow our repentance is enough to give us that redemption. Instead of saying, let me do something spiritual to connect with something spiritual. That's an answer. You've got to do what you want to connect to. Do you understand? So you just can't think about it. And that's why for a lot of people of my generation, the baby boomers, this is such a hard lesson to learn because we try to keep everything an intellectual discourse, i.e., if I think it, therefore I am it. Not the case. We have to do it, not think it. A lot of people know what they should be doing with their health, they just don't do it. So think of spiritual things. And what if each day you guided yourself towards your spiritual connections simply by honoring the spiritual in all things? You do not need to do more than simply be kind and thoughtful, compassionate and understanding, even empathetic, where before you would have been just judgmental. Imagine the power of a mind that instead of reacting goes to neutral, steps on that neutral and says, I'm going to examine everything now without reacting to see what other perspective I have. That's one of the things that a spiritual person does. They don't assume that everything is wrong or everyone's bad or everything's negative. They start off by simply saying, no matter what happens, there's still a spirituality in existence here. Let us not deny it. You can connect then with something that is spiritual. Emotional. We want emotional balance almost always coming from what? Stress. When most do you seek an emotional balance? When do you crave it? When you're in crisis. When you're in crisis, you start looking for answers. If you wake up tomorrow morning and you're not in crisis, what's the motivation if you wake up tomorrow and you're not in crisis to want to create an emotional balance tomorrow? None. You go right through your day like the day is just another day because you're not in crisis. So crisis, emotional crisis, challenge, threat to our being, our ego, our self-esteem, our self-importance, when that's threatened enough that we're in a crisis about it, then we seek something to create an emotional balance. Now, in our society, we seek tranquilizers. We want to create an artificial state of bliss, but not a natural one. But when each day you wake up and realize, gee, I have some choices here. I can say and feel things that will allow me not to overreact to people and events, and therefore look for the best in all things. If it's a rainy day or a sunny day, if I'm rich or poor, is not the issue. Really, that shouldn't determine whether or not I feel good or bad about myself. But the fact that I'm alive, and I'm alive for another day, and I should never take that day for granted.
That's part of the lesson. We have to prepare ourselves before we become the people who can face, confront, and have a voice to speak to the power in our lives, to say, I will not take your vaccines, I will not eat your genetically engineered foods, I will not vote for the lesser of two evils, and the moronic concept that somehow one evil is going to be less evil than the other evil. None of it helps us. I'd rather do a protest vote so they know I'm intentionally not voting for them. They're not going to give up power, and the people behind them will not lose power whether we vote or not. They still control everything and always have. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.